Going to call the meeting to order. Have the secretary call the roll, please.
York.
Here.
Comas. Chad Comas. You're muted. Freeman. Freeman. Holzbauer.
He wants there.
Here.
And Hutmaker.
Here. Rodney, what?
Freeman's. Freeman's here. I didn't hear my name.
Okay. Thank you. Looks like we have a quorum present to conduct business. With that, I would like to welcome everyone participating in today's meeting or listening online. This meeting is streaming live on SD.net, a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. For the benefit of our listeners, I request that all participants identify themselves when speaking during the meeting. Participants should also remember to unmute their microphone only when speaking. The meeting is being recorded and the audio will be made available online following the meeting. To find the audio recording online, do a web search for South Dakota Boards and Commissions portal, follow the link, and select the name of the board. If any members of the board's Legislative Oversight Committee are participating remotely, please acknowledge your presence at this time. I do not hear anything. With that, we'll move on. Conflicts disclosures, requests for board waivers. Anyone have any conflicts? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adopt the final agenda.
Freeman, I'd so move.
Motion by Freeman, is there a second?
Bjork, second.
Second by Bjork to adopt the final agenda. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carried. Adopt July 12th, 2023, August 2nd, 2023 board minutes. Do we have additions or corrections? Anyone have additions or corrections to the minutes?
This is Freeman.
Motion by Bjork, second by Freeman to adopt the minutes of July 12, 2023, August 2nd, 2023. Further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, the secretary will please call the roll.
Bjork?
Aye.
Comas? Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer.
Aye.
And Hutmaker.
Aye. I don't know what Chad's thing is. He can't seem to get, we don't have any audio on him. Motion carried to approve the minutes. Set December 6th and 7th, 2023 meeting dates and locations. Ron?
Suggesting in peer as usual for those dates as the location, probably starting at 9:30 as usual.
I am out of state then. I will probably, I just can't see that I'm going to make that meeting unless it's a visual and I can get it done, but I'm guessing not. Anyone else have conflicts?
Not I.
Okay. I think we'll set those dates, December 6th and 7th in Pier. With that, we'll have public comment period in accordance with SDCL 125-1. Do we have any public commenters?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Ann Mines Bailey on behalf of myself. I'd like to make a public comment.
I don't know if I want to let you.
No lecture.
Go ahead, though. Go ahead, though.
I just wanted to come and say a proper farewell and include a thank you. As the board knows, I left the Attorney General's office. The hardest part was leaving the Water Rights Program and the Water Management Board. I have truly enjoyed practicing before this board. The work is so important. Water is one of the state's most precious resources, and I'm so grateful that you all are willing to volunteer your time and serve in this capacity. And I just wanted you to know that I have appreciated through the years the perspectives and the thoughtfulness that you've given when crafting qualifications and conditions and granting and denying permits. And I have always appreciated the respect and the patience that you've had with those who have appeared before the board, particularly myself. Heaven knows how much patience you've exerted on my behalf, so thank you. It just truly has been a pleasure, and I really appreciate all the time you do. Thank you. That's all. See, no lecture.
Well, on behalf of myself and the board, Ann, I want to say good luck in your future endeavors, and you will truly be missed.
Thank you.
Anyone else comments?
And thank you very much for all the good work you've done and your service to the board. It's truly appreciated.
This is Board Member Comas. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
We can now, Chad.
I had to call in, but I wanted to also say thank you, Ann, for your time and your service. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
And this is Rodney, Ann. I'm truly going to miss you. This whole board is going to be really at a loss without your help and guidance. So thank you very much.
Thank you for the kind words.
Yeah, this is real, and I appreciate all the work that you have done for us. And anytime we had a question, you had an answer for us. So thank you.
Okay, thank you much, Ann, and board members for your comments. Do we have any other public commenters? Any other public commenters? Hearing none. Next on the agenda is update on DEANR activities.
Good morning, board. This is Eric Gronlund, Chief Engineer of the Water Rights Program. Just make you aware of a couple of things. South Dakota is hosting the Association of Western States Engineers this upcoming week, October 8th through the 11th in Custer State Park. That organization is made up of the 19 Western states that all follow similar prior appropriations water law. The meeting is generally attended by the chief engineers or state engineers from those various states and also the retired ones that we get a perspective from as well. Currently, we have 33 people registered for that meeting, representing 16 of the western states, so that's a really good turnout, at least from my point of view. Skipping on to the next issue would be it didn't become necessary to issue shutoff orders this irrigation season based on stream flows. Everything maintained fairly well. Mark Rath and I, the two probably that we watched the USGS gauging stations the most on, were the Battle Creek below Hermosa and also the Big Sioux River in that Castlewood area. Both of those have bypass qualifications on them, and we started getting close, but we never had to pull the trigger and issue any shutoff orders. As would be expected, water permit applications this fall have now started to taper off as the producers are focusing more on the harvest, so we're getting a little bit of a respite, and staff are getting out and doing the lake level surveys, some dam inspections, and some other field work, which is good. I think everybody's wanting to get out in the field a little bit and enjoy the fall. In 2 weeks from now, the annual irrigation mailing is going to go out to about 4,000 irrigation water permit holders or water right holders. This is going to be the first time in 40 years that we've done that without Jenny McMath at the helm. However, Jenny, we did hire her on as a seasonal, and she's going to come hopefully help hold our hand a little bit on that process. We do have two new program assistants on board that have come up to speed fairly quickly. I'm confident that we'll get through it, but it's going to be nice to have Jenny's help as well. Finally, as far as staffing issues, we currently have out posted or are interviewing on three positions, and I guess we're hoping to find some qualified candidates for that we can offer jobs to and get fully staffed. So we're in the process of trying to fill some of those positions. So with that, that's my update. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Mr. Chairman, this is Board Member Comas. May I ask a question? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Eric, do we do any sort of monitoring on, I know we do, I mean, we have the groundwatering wells, but what have you been seeing as the status of any aquifers? Now, I know that's a large, a wide-ranging question, but with some of the aquifers that are at or near capacity, is there any reason to be alarmed with some of the drier conditions that we've been seeing? Or what might you have to comment on that?
We have concluded basically with our observation well readings for this year. Basically, we have our two technicians that are out, what I call winterizing them, because some of them have freeze plugs. I can't say that we've analyzed them, you know, entirely and things on that order. But overall, I think we're doing, you know, fairly well. We were really, after the prior 2 years, we were really down quite a bit. In fact, we were reaching some record lows on some of our aquifers, you know, with us having a little bit more snow last winter. And with some of the moisture that we had this year, I think we're going to see some rebound. We're certainly hoping to see that recharge to get us back to where what I would consider that average. I would say overall we're probably down a little bit. If Adam was here, I'd probably have him step up and answer that. So I don't think I can give you a firm answer, but I don't think the sky is falling by any means. I think they're doing fairly well, and we're hoping to get some moisture and get that recharge that we're accustomed to as well. So I know, Mr. Comas, that doesn't totally answer your question, but we can follow up with you maybe by an email and give you a little better sense as well.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. We can always talk offline, but I appreciate the general comments. That's a hard question to answer for the whole state, I know.
Okay, any further questions or comments? I see Representative Weisgram has snuck in the room and joined us at the back of the meeting. Welcome. That happened while I got shut off. I don't know if everybody else did, but status and review of water rights litigation.
There's no update. Oh, this is David McVeigh, Board Counsel. There's no update to anything that's been previously said. We're still waiting. So that's it.
Okay. Thanks, David. Administer oath to Department of Ag and Natural Resources staff.
Each of you solemnly swear the testimony you will give today in this hearing will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
You do.
Thank you, Carla. Cancellation considerations. Ron.
This is Ron Duvall. You should have gotten in your board packet a list of the cancellation considerations. There would have been a sheet listing them all. And then individually you would have gotten the notice, a file documentation that was done documenting a conversation we had with the permit holder, and then the notice itself that went out. I think you're all aware that it's possible for a permit to be canceled for one of three reasons. Non-construction, there is one of those on here, the very last one, Sun Cigar Food Company. And all the rest of them concern abandonment or forfeiture. And the bulk of those are because of contact that we have with the irrigators through the irrigation questionnaire, and we find out that they just discontinued irrigation, is typically, or the property was sold, or those sorts of things. So in response to the notice that was sent to each one of these water right or water permit holders, we did not receive anyone opposing the cancellation of their water right permits. So if you have any questions concerning any of them, I will try and answer those.
Does the board have any questions, Ron, on cancellations? Hearing none, we'll go on to future use reviews.
You'll want to make a motion to actually cancel those, I think.
Okay, is there a motion to approve the cancellation list?
Mr. Chairman, this is Freeman. I would move to cancel the permits and water rights as listed on the form.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Is there a second to the motion?
Holzbauer, second.
Thank you, Leo. There's a second by Holzbauer. Further discussion on the motion to approve the cancellation list? Hearing none, will the secretary please call the roll?
York?
Aye.
Comas?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Hotmaker?
Aye. Now we'll do future use permits.
Ron Duvall again here. Also in your board packet, you will have gotten some permits for review of their future use reservations. Certain entities in South Dakota can reserve water for future use, and what that does is provides a bank of water that in the future they can then come and make another application to take water out of that future use reservation and put it to use. The benefit to the entities that can reserve water is that they're establishing a priority date and a claim to the amount of water specified on their future use permit. Every 7 years, those future use reservations come up for review before this board, and we make contact with each future use permit holder, asking them whether they wish to have their future use permit remain in effect for an additional 7 years, and basically to give us some justification for holding on to it. So in this case, it was Elk Point, Volga, and the Fall River Water Users District are the ones you received in your packet. In each of those cases, they did contact us back. You have that in your board packet, their response, and their request that their future use permits remain in effect. Once we get that information back from the future use permit holder, notice is published of this hearing today in the paper in each county in which they serve. In response to that public notice, there is the opportunity to petition or provide comments concerning the future use permits, and we received none. No petitions opposing and no comments either. So the chief engineer's recommendation to the board is that these future use permits remain in effect for another 7 years, and then we'll rinse and repeat. Any questions?
Thank you, Ron. Anyone have questions, Ron, on the future use permits? If not, is there a motion to approve?
Goldfarb makes a motion to approve the future use permits as listed.
Thank you, Leo. Is there a second to the motion for future use?
York, second.
Thank you, Tim. Further discussion on the motion to approve future use permits? Further discussion? Hearing none, Secretary will call the roll.
York?
Aye.
Comas?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Hotmaker?
Aye. Next thing on the agenda, consider findings of fact, conclusions of law, and final decisions of the matter of water permit application number 8744-3, Dakota Bay.
This is David McVeigh, Board Council. The Water Rights Program filed proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law, and on September 11th, 2023, the McCook Lake Recreation Area Association, by and through their attorney, filed objections and alternative findings and proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law. In this final findings of fact, conclusions of law, and decision, the order addresses, in compliance with SDCL 12625, the findings, conclusions, and decision address the objections with specificity. Particularly, the association objected to paragraph 20 of the findings, essentially asserting that the SDCL 46289 does not limit analysis of an unlawful impairment to a same or single water source. The final findings reject this allegation and assert that there's ample evidence set forth in the record to support the board's conclusion that all statutory factors set forth in 46289 have been satisfied. Secondly, the association objected to paragraph 25 of the proposed findings and asserts that the applicant failed to carry the burden to prove that the requirements in SDCL 46289 have been met. The final findings reject this assertion and state there is ample evidence in the record to suggest that the applicant met the statutory requirements set forth in SDCL 46289. The association further objected to paragraphs 26, 28, and 30 of the proposed findings and assert that the applicant's failure to provide technical specifications and engineering documents therefore provide no basis for the board to conclude that the proposed water use will be beneficial. Contrary to this assertion, the final order asserts that the record in its entirety is sufficient to support the board's conclusion that all statutory requirements are met by the applicable statute. Moving forward, the water rights have filed proposed conclusions of law as well. And likewise, on September 11, the McCook Lake Recreation Area Association filed objections to the conclusions of law. And And as required by SDCL 126-25, the final conclusions of law specifically address the objections of McCook Lake. Specifically, the association objected to paragraph 3 of the proposed conclusions and asserts that the applicant provided insufficient evidence to set of the factors set forth in SDCL 46289. The final conclusions reject that assertion, essentially based on the entirety of the record, including the exhibits, expert testimony, and testimony of the witnesses, were sufficient to support the board's conclusions that the statutory factors have been satisfied. The association further objected to paragraph 11 of the proposed conclusions and asserts that the proposed purpose of the water use will unlawfully impair the association's water rights. The record does not suggest that this assertion is consistent with the evidence, and therefore that conclusion was rejected in the final conclusions of law. The association likewise objected to paragraphs 12 and 13 of the proposed conclusions of law and asserts that there was no evidence presented regarding the design or specifications of the canal, and thus the board has no basis to conclude that the proposed use is unreasonable, beneficial, or in public interest. The record in its entirety, including the exhibits and testimony of witnesses, is sufficient to support the board's conclusion that the proposed recreational use, as set forth in the application, is reasonable, in the public interest, and beneficial to the appropriator. The association further objected and asserted that the board, and I will quote because I'm not entirely understanding, but because the board voted at the hearing that approval of water right permit 8744-33 would be conditioned on requirements set forth by the chief engineer pertaining to the water used, the proposed decision contains no such requirement, and thus the proposed decision fails to comply with the board's ruling. Contrary to this assertion, the minutes from the meeting show that the qualifications were set forth as they were part of the record that was included into evidence as Exhibit 600, and thus that assertion as to the conclusion of law is inconsistent with the record. So finally, as to the final decision, that is based on the accepted findings of fact and conclusions of law as set forth in this document. The board, and this is consistent with the board's oral order on the date of the meeting, that the board enters its determination that the water rights permit application 8744-3 is granted with the following qualifications. One, that the well-approved underwater permit 8744-3 is located near domestic wells and other wells which may obtain water from the same aquifer. Water withdrawal should be controlled so that there is not a reduction of needed water supplies in adequate domestic wells or in adequate wells having prior water rights. Permit holder shall, number two, the permit holder shall report to the chief engineer annually the amount of water withdrawn from the Missouri Elk Point aquifer. And number three, the final qualification, be that water permit number 8744-3 authorizes a total diversion of up to 28.6 acre feet of water the first year when use begins, and then up to 7.99 acre feet of water annually from the Missouri Elk Point aquifer. And if there's any questions.
Does anyone have a question? David, on the report on conclusions of law and findings of fact. Final decision. Anyone have any questions? If not, is there a motion to approve?
Mr. Chairman, this is York. I would make a motion to approve the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and decision in the matter of water permit application number 8744-3 for Dakota Bay LLC.
Okay, is there a second to the motion to approve?
Yes, Freeman, second.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Further discussion on the motion? You can to approve findings of fact, conclusions of law, and final decision in the matter of water permit application 8744-3 for Dakota Bay. Further discussion? If not, the secretary will call the roll, please.
York?
Aye.
Thomas?
I will abstain.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Buttmaker?
Aye. Motion carried. Next on the agenda, consider findings of fact, conclusions of law, final decision in the matter of McCook Lake Recreation Area Association's petition for declaratory ruling. David, I think that's your number two.
Indeed, this is McVeigh Board Council. In this matter, Water Rights submitted proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law. And on September 11, 2023, counsel for the McCook Lake Recreation Area Association filed objections to those findings of fact and conclusions of law. In compliance with SDCL 1-26-25, the McCook Lake's objections to the findings of fact are reviewed in detail in the final findings of fact and conclusions of law. Specifically, petitioner objected to proposed findings paragraph 1 and alleged that it misstates the relief requested in the petition and states that the association's petition requests, quote, for the board to issue a declaratory ruling finding that such that the expansion of a public body of water for private use or gain, such as by altering the shoreline of the lake and connecting canal, requires a permit to appropriate water, unquote. This is an accurate recitation of the relief request in the petition, and Water Rights proposed paragraph fact, I'm sorry, proposed finding number one accurately states relief requested, and it's taken verbatim from the petition, and therefore McCook Lake's request for an alternative finding is denied. McCook Lake objected to proposed findings, paragraph 12, specifically the sentence, quote, the construction of a canal as proposed by Mr. Chiquin does not result in the possession or control of water, therefore it's not appropriation of water, end quote. The proposed finding is consistent with the evidence and testimony presented to the board. McCook Lake proposed no alternative finding, and their objection to the proposed finding is noted. Petitioner objects to proposed finding number 25 and asserts that the association objects to paragraph 25 of the proposed findings of fact because A, the conclusion itself is wrong, and B, the correct question is not whether an ongoing appropriation exists, but whether the canal uses water from McCook Lake. Essentially, this objection to the finding is a portion of petitioner's argument at the hearing, and thus the board has already addressed it. McCook Lake proposed no alternative finding, and thus this decision simply notes their objection. The Water Rights Program proposed conclusions of law, and on September 11, 2023, McCook Lake filed their objections to the proposed conclusions of law, and in compliance with SDCL 1-26-25, McCook Lake's objections to the proposed conclusions are addressed with specificity herein. Specifically, petitioner objects to paragraph 2 of the proposed conclusions of law and alleges that chief engineer is not a proper party to the action and cites to SDCL 4628-4 for this proposition. This essentially misunderstands the role of the chief engineer in the water appropriation methodology in South Dakota. And it's also noted that the chief engineer filed a timely petition to participate in the matter in any event. So no alternative conclusion was proposed by McCook Lake, and therefore the objection is noted but not adopted. The petitioner additionally objected to paragraph 3 of the proposed conclusions of law, and asserts that Dakota Bay LLC and Michael Chiquin were not proper parties pursuant to SDCL 4062A4. At the hearing, the board determined they were a necessary original party, and additionally, the association was personally served. I'm sorry, the McCook Lake Association personally served Mr. Chiquin and Dakota Bay LLC. No alternative conclusion was proposed, and petitioner's objection is noted but not adopted. And one final, just as a housekeeping point, is that to the extent petitioner's objection is noted in this decision, that should be read as noted but not adopted. And that's everything. So if there's any questions. Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing. The final decision as to these findings of fact, conclusions of law, and decision reads that the board hereby denies the relief requested and declares that Mr. Chiquin / Dakota Bay's canal is not an appropriation of McCook Lake water and does not require a standard or traditional permit from this board. And then that is its entirety. And again, questions if any.
Thank you, David. Does anyone have questions of David? Any questions on the declaratory ruling? If not, is there a motion to approve? Final decision, findings of fact, conclusions of law, final decision on the matter of McCook Lake Recreation Area's petition for declaratory ruling.
Mr. Chairman Freeman, I would so move.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Is there a second to the motion?
Holzbauer, second.
Thank you, Mr. Holzbauer. I have a motion and second. Findings of fact, conclusions of law, and final decision in the matter of McCook Lake Recreation Area's petition for a declaratory ruling. The secretary will call the roll, please.
York?
Aye.
Comas?
I will abstain.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Hatmaker?
Aye. Motion carried. Next on the agenda, consider water permit application numbers 8221B-3, 8278A-3, Songstad Food Company. Eric?
This is Eric Grauman. Songstad Food Company filed applications to extend the length of time allowed for construction of works and placement of water to beneficial use for two water permits, 8221A-3 and 8278-3. State Codified Law 46-5-26 allows for an extension of time for a reasonable amount of time on account of physical or engineering difficulties that couldn't be reasonably anticipated due to operation of law that would have prevented the use of water or due to exigent circumstances as identified by this board. The packet that was sent to you included the letter from the applicant's counsel transmitting the two applications, as well as the basis for why they were not able to complete construction of works on time, then the recommendation and the staff report. The two applications were reviewed, and the report were authored by Gabrielle Lewis, who was an intern with the Water Rights Program this last summer. However, she's back at college doing what she's supposed to be doing, so I'm stepping in her place. First, water permit application 8221A-3 appropriated 222.2 acre feet of water at a maximum diversion rate of 1.11 cubic feet of water per second. That equates to 500 gallons a minute from the Vermilion West Fork Aquifer, from up to 8 wells completed into that aquifer, a little bit north of Parker in Turner County, and it was for use in basically a poultry production facility. If I recall right, it was basically an proposed egg laying facility. The date on that permit to complete construction of works is September 23rd of 2024. The other application was for an extension of time to 8278-3. It too requests an appropriation of 222.2 acre feet of water at the 1.11 CFS from up to two wells in the Montrose Management Unit of the Vermilion East Fork Aquifer, 2 miles northeast of Parker in Turner County. The date to complete construction of works for that permit was July 12th of 2023. However, ask the board to take note that the extension was filed on July 5th with us prior to the date for completion of works. Also of note was this production facility only truly needed 222 acre feet of water, so there's a qualification that the combined withdrawal from these sources could not exceed that 222.2 acre feet of water. And in addition, Sonstegard also had a water permit 8358-3 from a different source for this facility as well, but they requested cancellation, and I believe that cancellation action was taken a few minutes ago. So Sonstegard's request for the 5-year extension of time from the date of their filing of application, which was June 30th of this year, Water Rights actually received it on July 5th. The basis listed, just in real general terms, was litigation surrounding the Turner County Planning and Zoning, a federal lawsuit involving the state of California regarding selling products from animals confined in a certain manner that was litigated through the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and the U.S. Supreme Court, the COVID pandemic, and the bird flu outbreak. Those, in my estimation, were exigent circumstances that needed to be determined by this board. As far as the application 8221B-3, since that permit was approved, there have been no other applications filed for that aquifer. In the case of 8278A-3, since that permit was approved, there's been one application or one permit that has been issued from that Montrose Management Unit of the aquifer, but it is located 33 miles north of this location, and therefore we don't see unlawful impairment of existing rights being an issue at all. The applications were public noticed as set forth in state law, and no petitions or comments were received. Our recommendation is for approval of this board if this board finds that the criteria in 46.5.26 have been met. The qualifications would remain the same, except for the one of them has a qualification that includes that canceled permit, and that has been deleted since that is no longer an active permit. I guess I would acknowledge that I believe that John Taylor, who is counsel for Sonstegard Food Company, is on this remote meeting, and he may have some comments as well. With that, I'll take any questions.
Does anyone on the board have questions of Eric? Anyone have questions of Eric? If not, Mr. Taylor, do you have comments on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John Taylor, appearing for Sonstegard Food Company. Welcome to entertain and answer any questions the board has. Mr. Gronlund very succinctly summarized the reasons that Sonstegard has put forth as its exigent circumstances for extension of these permits. Pending any questions from the board, I would respectfully request on behalf of Sonstegard that the extension request be granted.
Does anyone on the board have questions of Mr. Taylor? Anyone have questions of Mr. Taylor? Hearing none, is there a motion to consider water permit application number 8221B-3 and 8278A-3 for Sonstegard Foods?
Mr. Chairman, this is Freeman. I certainly think there are valid reasons that have been presented, and thus I would move for approval subject to the qualifications of the chief engineer.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Is there a second to that motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Bjork. Second that motion.
Thank you, Tim. Further discussion on the motion to approve? Further discussion? Hearing none. Secretary will call the roll, please.
Bjork? Jim Bjork?
Aye.
Comas?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer?
Aye.
Hatmaker?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Next thing on the agenda, consider future use water permit application 8778-3, Webb Water Development. Mark Rath, please.
Good morning, Board. My name is Mark Rath. I'm a staff engineer with the Water Rights Program. Today, you're here to consider a future use water permit application 8778-3, Webb Water Development Association. The applicant proposes to reserve for future use 10,000 acre feet of water annually from the Missouri River near Mobridge. Webb serves 14 counties in South Dakota along the northern portion of the eastern part of South Dakota and three counties in North Dakota. Currently, there are 19 future use permits reserving 355,201 acre-feet annually from the Missouri River. There is one future use permit for approximately 1.1 million acre-feet held by the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation that is not included in this tally for the suspended Oahe Irrigation Project. Webb currently holds future use permit numbers 2671-3, 3429-3, and 8552-3 from the Missouri River. 25,000 acre feet that were reserved under these future uses have been developed under these permits, and there remains 15,000 acre feet reserved for future use. Webb provided this supporting information for this as part of this application. Webb has a proposed $82 million moratorium improvement project. There is a proposed water treatment plant expansion. Webb intends to bury a 49.5-inch diameter raw water line and new treated water main line. The upsized main line would have the capacity to transport 53.3 million gallons of water per use per day, which equates to 60,000 acre feet annually. That's all I have. I'm not sure if anybody from Webb is on this call or in this meeting or not.
First of all, does anyone on the board have questions of Mark on the future use permit for Webb?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question, and it's maybe asking out of ignorance here, but didn't we just have a request to reserve a water right? And I'm not sure from whom again, but it was over 10,000 acre feet, and we had to send it to the legislature. What's the situation here?
Mr. Bjork, this is Eric Gronlund. You're correct. We recently, this board, basically considered an application by Lewis and Clark Regional Water System for a future use permit for 19,121 acre feet of water. By statute, any amount in excess of 10,000 acre feet requires legislative approval, so the board's action was to actually present that application of Lewis and Clark's to the legislature, in which we are taking steps to bring that before the 2024 legislature. Currently, right now, this application is for 10,000 acre feet of water, not in excess of 10,000, so technically it does not require the legislative approval step. But because of the quantity of water, I made the decision to public notice this for the board so that you were aware of it.
Okay. Thank you, Eric.
Any further questions on the future use permit for Webb?
Mr. Chairman, this is Bjork. I would move approval.
Thank you, Mr. Bjork. I have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
This is Comas. I'll second.
OK, Okay, second by Comas. Further discussion on the motion to approve the future use permit number 8778-3 for Webb Water Development.
I was starting to ask the question. This is Holtzbar. I was starting to ask the question before the motion came, but what are we doing with North Dakota in on this, giving North Dakota a future use permit?
Mr. Holtzbar, this is Eric Gronlin. The actual future use permit is for Webb Rural Water System. Their primary focus is serving people in South Dakota, but they do have connections up in North Dakota. There's a specific statute in state law, I can't pull it off the top of my head, that allows for water to be appropriated and used out of state. So that's common. There's a number of rural water systems that do that. And likewise, there's some rural water systems, rural water system in North Dakota that serves users in Perkins County. There's a rural water system in Minnesota that serves people on the eastern side. So that's not an uncommon occurrence.
Okay. Thank you for your explanation.
Further comments on the motion to approve?
Mr. Chairman, this is Bjork, and I have, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking about this. We get a request from Lewis and Clark for $19,000. We get a request from Webb for $10,000. Do we really have any kind of overall plan on how this plan for the use of water from the Missouri River? Is there something out there that regulates any of this, Eric?
I'm not sure I'm going to fully answer your question, but what we're doing right currently is following the state water rights law. As the state as a whole, within the division of finance and technical assistance, there is a state water plan and a system that these projects have to go through, and that's how they commonly get funding through the state. So there is a plan of sorts from a financial, because these are huge financial undertakings they're talking about for these projects. From a water allocation aspect, again, I'll go back to, we follow the law, and when somebody files it, we look at those four criteria in state law. The one thing that we are in South Dakota and North Dakota, for that matter, are blessed with is the Missouri River. Which is a tremendous resource, and I guess maybe rely on Mark, but we're not near fully appropriating that resource. In fact, we're barely tapping, and I think Mark can correct me if I'm wrong. We just did an analysis that if you look at from an appropriation standpoint, we maybe would use, if everything was fully utilized, we would use 1% of the flow that passes by Sioux City, Iowa. But in actuality, those aren't all continuously used because of irrigation and the rural water systems don't do that. I think we may tap less than 0.4 of a percent of the water that passes through South Dakota. So, again, I'm not sure I totally answered your question, Mr. Gork.
Yeah, that, Eric, thank you for that. That helps. And the reason I brought that up is because there was a bill in the legislature in the last session, and it was defeated, talking about a pipeline from the Missouri River to western South Dakota. And, you know, I think we need to take a look at all the things that are happening all over the state to maybe take a look at our overall state water plan and see how it fits with everything that's happening today. So thank you for that, Eric. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim. Is there further comments on the motion to approve? Further comments? Hearing none, Secretary, call the roll, please.
York?
Aye.
Comas?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Holzbauer? Leo, are you on? Huttmaker?
All right.
Yeah.
There's Leo. OK. Okay, I have nothing else on my agenda except lunch. I'm wondering who's going to come and buy.
I think lunch is on your own, Jim.
Oh, okay. Well, we could be on Eastern time. All right. Well, if not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Motion by Holzbauer, second, or by Bjork, second by Holzbauer. All in favor, vote aye.
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 Motion carried. We are adjourned.